the land of Bashan. And Bashan had a king. His name was Og. O-G. Og. That's quite a name. This must have been born. His mother must have looked at him and said, Og. Because he was big. He was so big that the Bible tells us he was so big that the Bible tells us they had to make a special bed out of iron for this fellow. And that bed was 13 and a half feet long and 6 feet wide. That was Og's bed. And Og was the king of Bashan, and we are told he was not the only giant, but he had giant soldiers with great fortifications. And as Israel was swooping up, making its grand entrance into the promised land, they came face to face with Og. And I'll tell you, I don't care how big the giants are. When God's on your side, the giants fall. And Og fell. And terror spread immediately throughout the rest of the nations. There was a nation in the south, the nation of Moab. And the king of Moab was panic-stricken. Balak was his name. And Balak called all of his counselors in and he said, I never believed it. I never would have dreamed that anybody could have conquered Og. Why, he said, these Israelites, they are sweeping up the land like an ox eats grass off the fields. He says, there's no way that we can stop them from taking us. Now, there was a counselor sitting in the back of the room who put up his hand and he said, sir, he said, live forever, O king, but there is a way. You see, these children of Israel have this great God who fights for them. And I happen to know of a great and mighty prophet that serves that same God, but yet is not with them. His name is Balaam. Now, if we would go and take some, you know, very nice gifts to Balaam, surely we could get him to come and curse these people and take away the blessing of their God. And if he would do that, then we would not have to fear. Now, Balak was quite taken with this. It seemed to be a perfectly grand idea. And so all of the preparations were made. The ambassadors were selected and the gifts were selected. And the entourage took off to the land where Balaam lived. Now, the pen of inspiration tells us that Balaam was a true prophet of Jehovah. He did serve the same God that the children of Israel served. He had been selected by God to be his man in the area where he lived. And God had blessed him. He was not a poor man. He did not live on denominational wages. No, that's not true. Denominational wages are very good. Bill's got a vest on this morning. That proves it. But anyway, actually, the Bible says that Balaam had servants, so he must not have been a poor man. It came as quite a shock when there was a knock on the door. Balaam opened the door, and there stood the entourage from Moab. And he was quite flattered by the distinguished gentlemen that were at his door, and he stepped back and let them come in, and they came in and sat down in the room. He said, gentlemen, what can I do for you? And they begin to spill out their story about this wild horde of people, this wild horde of barbarians that were coming up and were about to sweep over their land. And then they flattered him very much. They turned to him and they said, Balaam, we know that the ones that you bless are blessed, and the ones that you curse are cursed. And Balaam smiled. Yes, that's right. We would like you to come and curse these people. Now, the pen of inspiration tells us that Balaam was not ignorant of who the children of Israel were. He knew. He knew they were God's people. He knew what God had done for them in bringing them across the Red Sea and caring for them in the wilderness for the last 40 years. He knew that he could not curse Israel except God allow him to do so. And so he turned to the ambassadors from Moab and he said, I would consider it. And they said, we would like to encourage you to come with us. Matter of fact, we brought something to make the trip easy for you. And they turned, and one of the men was sitting in the corner with a large box on his lap. And they came over, and they opened the box up on the floor in front of Balaam. And he couldn't believe what he saw. It was like getting the big deal of the day. The curtains had opened. He had chosen curtain number 3, and it was all there. There was more wealth and goodies there on the floor than he had ever dreamed of having. Why, even though things were good, things can always be better. One of the new neighbors had just gotten a brand new 1977 chariot, and Balaam was still riding a donkey. And he looked at that and he said, listen, he said, I will have to consult with my God tonight. He said, you come back in the morning and I will give you my answer. And that night, Balaam went into his room and he knelt down. And he began to pray. Oh God, let me go. Let me go up there and just a little curse. Nothing big. Just a little curse to make Balak satisfied. And God spoke to Balaam that night. And God said, Balaam, they are my people. You cannot curse them. You cannot go. Poor Balaam. He lay in bed that night and found it hard to sleep. He wanted to go so bad. But God had spoken. And so in the morning when the ambassadors from Moab came back, he turned to them and he said, I'm sorry. He said, I cannot go with you. I cannot curse what God has blessed. They excused themselves and soon they were back in Moab. Now Balak does not understand. King Balak believes that Balaam is just holding out for more goodies. And so this time he sends the Secretary of State. He sends some of the highest diplomats that he can find in the nation. And this time they take even more gold and more wealth. And it was a few weeks later, but there was a knock on the door and Balaam opened the door and there was the Secretary of State from Moab. And he said, we have come back from King Balak. And he said, we need you. And this time, to make the trip even a little easier for you, we would like to show you what we have brought. And you might take it, and it will be yours. Balaam looked around him, looked out past the porch and down there on the road. And John, there was the most beautiful, bright red chariot. It had mag wheels on it. Great big tires that said radial something on the side. CB antenna sticking out the back. And he looked really close and he saw the word Monty something written on the side. He wanted that. He had never seen a chariot like that in all of his life. He really wanted it. And he said, brethren, he said, let me consult with my God again. And if my God says I can come, I will go with you. We will curse Israel. And so the ambassadors from Moab left to go to their hotel for the evening. And Balaam went to prayer. Oh God, he said, I've never seen a chariot like that before. God, do you realize the influence that we can have in the community? The way we could witness with a vehicle like that. Surely people would come and want to follow you because of the way you bless me. They would want to be blessed equally the same. Let me go. And so God said, all right, Balaam, you can go. When the ambassadors from Moab come for you in the morning, you may go with them. I tell you, if Balaam had a hard time sleeping the last time they were here, he really had a hard time sleeping this time. He could just feel all of that thundering horsepower under his foot. He dreamed all night long visions of everything. Mrs. Balaam was even excited about it. She dreamed of a new wardrobe. Someone else around the house to help with all the dishes and the clothes and everything else. It was fantastic. And that morning before the sun was up, Balaam was up and his suitcase was packed and he was ready to go. And the sun came up and he went out and he stood on the front porch. And an hour went by and the ambassadors from Moab did not come. And he thought, well, they overslept this morning. And another hour went by and the ambassadors from Moab did not come. And finally, another hour had passed by and they did not come. And Balaam began to realize that something was wrong. And now he remembered what God had said to him. God had said, when the ambassadors come for you in the morning, you may go with them. But what had happened was the ambassadors had gotten up that morning and they said, there is no point in going back to see him. He will give us the same answer he gave last time. And they had gone on. And now suddenly Balaam realizes what has happened, that they have gone on without him. And he can't think of losing all of this precious honor and gifts and wealth. And he went out and he opened up the garage and he pulled out the old donkey. And it was, oh, that old donkey. It was a faithful old animal. Had over 100,000 miles on its speedometer. It had really logged the miles. And Balaam jumped on that donkey, and we're told he had two servants ready to go with him. And the three of them started off together, and they were really pushing hard. Every time they would come to the crest of a hill, Balaam would anxiously look over the hill, waiting and hoping to be able to see the ambassadors. But always it seemed they were one hill farther away. And he's pressing on, pushing the old donkey for all it can put out. And suddenly as he's riding along, the old animal just swerved off into a field. Balaam was greatly distressed. They had lost time. He began to beat the old animal and hit it and smacked it and yelled at it and finally got it back onto the trail again. And off they went. And now we're told that they came to a place where there was a stone wall on the side of the path. And suddenly, without any warning at all, the old donkey just swerved to the side. And Balaam's leg, right down here along of his ankle, got crushed and, just abrased on the side of the rocks. And it hurt. And that made him all the madder. And he beat the old animal some more. Finally, he got them going again. And now the Bible tells us they came to a very narrow place. A place where there was no way to swerve to the right or the left. And suddenly, pressing forward as fast as they could go, the old animal came suddenly to a grinding halt. And you know what happens when you're on a bicycle or a car or anything that comes to a sudden halt. Old Balaam went rolling over the front onto the ground. And he got up. He had his best suit on. And he got up and he was brushing the dust off and he was so mad. He turned around and he picked up his staff and he began to beat that poor animal. He was so angry. How angry was he? He was so angry that when that animal talked to him, he talked back. That animal said to him, why are you beating me so? And Balaam said, I am beating you so because you have mocked me. Because three times now you have thrown me around. He said, I am so angry with you. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you now. And the donkey said to him, why would you do that? Have I not served you faithfully? Have I ever done anything to you wrong? And Balaam said, no. And as he said no, suddenly we're told his eyes were opened and there stood a great, shining, glorious angel in the pathway. And the angel turned to Balaam and he said, Balaam, why are you hitting that animal so? Don't you realize that that faithful animal has three times now saved your life? The Bible says that Balaam said, if I'm displeasing you, I'll go home. And the angel said, no, Balaam, that's all right. You can go on now. But you remember this. The only thing you can ever say is what I, the Lord, will allow you to say. And Balaam wasn't too satisfied with that, but he went. Now the ambassador from Moab heard that he was coming and sent a message on to Balak. And Balak was waiting at the borders of Moab with all of his entourage. They were there and they were waiting. And as Balaam crossed the border, he was taken off the old donkey. He had the finest robe put on him and he was put into a fine chariot to ride with the king himself. Oh, what honor he had as he came to the nation. And immediately he was taken to the top of a great high place and there he was shown Israel. Now Balaam understood about the children of Israel's sacrificial system. He knew that they offered a lamb in the morning and a lamb in the evening. And so he had concocted a little idea along the way. He thought, if God likes sacrifices, we will give him lots of sacrifices and buy his favor. And so as they were standing there looking out over Israel, Balaam said, please build 7 altars. Balak's men immediately built 7 altars. And then they brought 7 bullocks and 7 rams and sacrificed 14 animals to try to buy God's favor, as if God was interested in blood. And now, with Israel stretched out in front of him, Balaam realizes that it's a little bit different than had been described to him. And they had described Israel as a wild band of, barbaric peoples. But as he stood there, he looked out over the camp and it was beautiful. All of the tents were laid out in order and array, and it was obvious that this was a civilized people. And now, Balaam, who has served the true God, looks at the temple that was built, the tabernacle, and there he sees the great shimmering cloud, the presence of God. You know, while all of this is going on, Israel down below has no knowledge of the danger that they are in. They are not aware of the fact that there are enemies plotting against them, that there are enemies doing their very best to destroy them. They are just going about their daily normal life. I wonder how many times in our lives the enemy plots against us. How many times in our life is there a plot to destroy us, to take our lives, to bring some calamity upon us? And we are never aware of it because there is a protecting hand keeping back the forces of evil from us. I tell you, one of the most exciting things I can hardly wait for is to talk to my guardian angel. Some Sabbath afternoon to sit under the tree of life with him and have him tell me all about it. He's going to say, do you remember when such and such happened? And I'd say, yes. And do you remember that man that came along and helped you? And I'd say, yes. He said, it was me. Oh, how thrilling it's going to be when we learn about how God takes care of us. God was caring for his people because Balaam now holds out his hands forth over the land and he says this, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? How shall I defy whom God hath not defied? Who can count the dust of Jacob and number the fourth part of Israel? Now listen to this. He says, let me die,
the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. The pen of inspiration tells us that Balaam had a vision. In that vision, he not only saw what Israel was then and what Israel was going to be, but God gave Balaam a vision clear to the end of the world. Balaam actually saw modern day society. He saw God's people being lifted off of the earth and rise to meet Jesus in the air. He saw heaven. He saw the reward of the righteous. This is why he cries out and says, "Let me die the death of the righteous and let my last end be like his." He saw the truth. And I think how pathetic it is, for out of his lips comes, "Let me die the death of the righteous." But when you read later chapters in the Bible, you will find that Balaam died the death of the wicked. How tragic in the day of judgment. For in the day of judgment, Balaam will arise to see things that he had already once seen in vision. But he did not die the death of the righteous. Balak said unto Balaam, "What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse my enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether." And then Balak thought, "Oh," he said, I have made a mistake. I showed him all of the people at once, and he's overwhelmed by their presence." And so he took him to another place the next morning, a place where he could see just a little part of Israel, just a little part. And his idea was now that he would get him to curse Israel in pieces. A little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece there. Finally get them all. And so the next morning they're up. They build 7 more altars. They sacrifice 14 more animals. Balaam stands up. He holds out his hands. And once again, he blesses Israel. Balak is furious. "Cannot believe it. He has been honoring this man. He's been giving him the best food. And oh, I just can't believe it." Finally, he has one last idea. If somehow Balaam can be impressed with the glory of Moab's God, maybe he will then be unimpressed with Israel's God. And so the next morning, Balaam is taken to a high place where the temple of Baal was. And there, at the temple of Baal, Balaam was led into sensuous, lustful worship. And at the end of this lust and sensual worship, with all of the beauty that they could put around him, they built 7 more altars. And they sacrificed 14 more animals. And again they took him out to a place and they said, "Now curse Israel." We're told that Balaam didn't even pray this time. He knew better. He knew what was going to come out of his mouth. But he speaks, and he says, "How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, as the gardens by the river's side, as the trees of line aloes which the Lord hath planted, he shall pour buckets of water out upon thee to bless thee. Blessed is he that blesses thee. Cursed is he that curses thee." And the Bible says, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, "I have called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them 3 times. Therefore, flee to thy place. Get out of this land. Don't you ever let me see you again." And poor old Balaam, he had ridden into Moab in all of the splendor and glory of that beautiful chariot. He now gets on the old donkey and starts to plod back home. We're told that when he got home, the Spirit of the Lord left him. He now was able to do and say the things that he wanted to. And he realized that the only way that he could take God's blessing away from this people is if he could get those people to join in sin. Now, he had tasted sin. He had tasted it deep on that third morning when he was taken to the temple of Baal.
And he realized that if he could lead those people into sensuous sin, God could not bless them, and the curse would rest upon them, and Balaam would receive all of the goodies that he had wanted. And he's back, boys, on that donkey, and he goes back to Moab, and Balak says, I never want to see you again. What are you here for? And Balaam says, I have an idea. I know how I can get them. And they selected the most beautiful women that they could find from the land of Moab. And those beautiful women now went down and began to infiltrate into the tents and the houses of the Israelites. And as they moved in among the leaders of Israel, they said, listen, we're going to have a great celebration. It's a celebration of our nation. It's like July the 4th. We would like you to come. And they took all the great leaders of Israel and they crossed the river. And they took them up to the temple of Baal, and there they put before them a great feast, and were told when these men were filled with food and with wine, it was then that they were led into sin. And a great curse and plague did fall upon Israel. The Bible tells us that 24,000 Israelites died because of Balaam's plan. Oh, Balaam, Balaam, once a true prophet of God, what have you done? What have you done? Balaam had allowed his materialistic desires and selfish greeds to overtake his love for God. Balaam could only see the things that he wanted now, and lost sight of the future, even when God gave to him a vision. Oh, Balaam, let me die the death of the righteous. Balaam died that very day when Moses directed a force of soldiers to attack Moab. And as the soldiers from Israelites swept up across the land of Moab, Balaam died. Oh, Balaam, how foolish you are. Is Balaam really that much different than we are? Do we ever allow things we want to interfere with what God wants for us? Do we ever desire little pleasures, nothing big, just little pleasures that we know aren't quite right, but, well, you know, we work hard during the day. Maybe God would overlook it if we went out to Bishop's cafeteria for dinner after church on Sabbath. Maybe God would overlook it if I only gave 7% tithes. Maybe God would overlook it if this one television program here on Friday night that I really wanted to see, maybe God would overlook if I wore this jewelry. It's something I like, and it really can't be that important. I wonder. I'm just wondering. Because you see, I don't know the things that appeal to you. Only you know the answer to that.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry. as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.